number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Predators win 4-1 last night, tie the series up at one apiece. Coming back to Nashville, we bring in our man Willie Donick, who will be traveling back to America's Music City here in just a little bit. But Willie, I don't even know if I'm going to say they stole one, but they got the win, and it's 1-1. They win it 4-1. I thought the first period was not great. Second period was much better, and they were able to hold on and get the W. What were your overall thoughts of the game last night?
Well, in the playoffs, it doesn't always have to be pretty. And I thought the line of the night was Andrew Burnett when he said after the game, he says, "We committed to the pain." 33 block shots. I agree with your assessment, Chase. I don't think it was a steal when you went 4-1. But there were times where you did feel like they were hanging on. But I love the poise and the toughness they played because they were struggling to keep the puck, which is something they haven't struggled with very much. I mean, they're one of the best ozone possession teams in the league, but so is Vancouver. And Vancouver was all over them in that game. But they defended tremendously well with a lot of heart, a lot of guts, and they did not crack.
No, they didn't. And I thought Saros obviously played a lot better than he did in game one. That was going to be a key. Do you think, though, that they unlocked Forsberg with that goal? I mean, he had a pretty good shot on net right before he scored. Then he scores a two-point night. The stats don't say everything, but do you feel like that maybe that's the playoff Philip Forsberg that everybody's been looking for?
Well, that was a big-time play. That was a massive play in the game that not very many people could make, and that's what separates Philip Forsberg. That's why he's so important to the Predators. They just don't have a lot of guys that could make that play. There's not a lot of guys in the league that could make that shot. He just faked the goalie right out of his shoes. That was fantastic. I still think that even though it was a little bit better last night, they've still got to figure out how to get that line going a little bit more. They're going to need more shots. Philip Forsberg took more shots and more shot attempts than he ever has before, and it wasn't even close. That's why he had 48 goals. But last night, he still only had 3 shots on goal and 2 other shot attempts. That's low for him. And I think at home it would be better because Andrew Burnett can control the matchups better at home. So I think that's something to look forward to in Game 3. But I thought he was a little more dialed in Game 2 for sure, and that play spoke for itself.
All right, really, a few things. People talk about how loud it was. How loud was it for Games 1 and 2 inside that arena?
Well, Joe, they have a thing, you know, just like a lot of arenas do, where they try to pump up the crowd. Now, this is what's special about Bridgestone, right, is the Smashville standing O, which I'm looking forward to, and I know everybody's getting excited about that. It's not prompted, right? There's not, you know, like in the studio audience at a game show where it says applause, there's a sign going on applause. They don't do that at Bridgestone, right? It's just you have to feel it. The crowd has to connect with the players. The players have to inspire the crowd, and it just happens. The standing O throughout the TV timeout. What they do in Vancouver is they get the decibel meter out, and they get the guy on the microphone, and they start pumping him up and say, "We got to get this going. We're behind. It's not over." And they look, let's see if we can crank it up. And they got the decibel meter over 110 in Vancouver during the TV timeout in the third period. Now, in the game one, it worked. And it was right after that they scored the 2 goals to win game one. Last night, they did the same thing. It didn't work. I'll say this. When they scored those 2 goals in 12 seconds, it was extremely loud. It was a big-time atmosphere, as you would expect in Canada. It's a hungry fan base here. They hadn't played a home playoff game since 2015. That's a long time to go. Imagine in Nashville, you have no playoff games for 9 years. That's not something I want to think about, really. But I think Bridgestone can top it.
Oh, absolutely. I remember a player years ago, Willie. I got him Greg Zannon. I went in the locker room one time after a game, and he had bruises up and down his body from blocking shots. And I was like, man, he's like, sometimes you got to do whatever it takes to win. Last night, the Nashville Predators had 32 block shots. Again, to what Greg Zannon said, sometimes you got to do whatever it takes to win. I mean, that's a record for the team. Just amazing watching those guys last night, Will, and you were there sacrificing their body.
I agree. Commitment to the pain is the line of the night. And the stats, we were trying to figure out, Chris Mason and I, after the game, how much ice do you think was used, or how many ice baths people took? Because there were 30, there were, as a team, they blocked 33 shots. They always recalibrate the stats after the game. Somehow Nashville individually only has 30 blocked shots on the stat sheet, but the team blocked 33, according to the Vancouver stat sheet. I don't know how that works, but you get the point, right? That's a ton of blocked shots. And there were 48 hits by Vancouver. Nashville had 32, which is a pretty good number, but 48 hits by Vancouver. So they took 48 hits and blocked 33 shots. And you tell me how much ice that equates to after the game.
Ooh, that's a lot, for sure. All right, now we did start the show with this, that Alex Doherty had had the quote from UC Saros after the game, talking about that big hit that with Dakota Joshua when he crashed into the net in the third period. And Saros said, quote, "It was a good thing I was wearing a double cup." So we've learned something today that exists. I didn't know anything about that. Maybe you can ask Chris Mason. He can give a little more insight to goalies in that. But that was a pretty big hit, and glad that Saros is okay.
Well, goodness, I am glad he's wearing the double cup, too. I would think all the guys with all those blocks and stuff we were just talking about would need the double cup. I was just hearkening back to some baseball games that I've seen as well. But, yeah, Saros, that was Dakota Joshua, who's a big, tough player, who was the best player in the game in the first game, scored the two goals, and then he charged towards the net. He got tangled, I think, with Mark Jankowski and went flying into Saros. And luckily, UC was able to get his arm up a little bit to protect himself, but apparently there was some contact to the midsection. But he bounced right back up there. I thought he was outstanding. You know, you're not going to see it in the stats last night because there were only 18 shots on goal. But I would say that there were four or five plays where Vancouver, I thought, was going to score. And UC Saros, like he magically does, just took it away. There were a couple in the first period and a couple in the third period. There was one play in particular. Nashville is hanging on for dear life. They had iced the puck. The Tommy Novak's group was on the ice, which is not the ideal group to start in the defensive zone. And sure enough, Vancouver wins the faceoff. The crowd's going crazy. A guy jumps right into the slot in front of Saros. He makes the save. I thought that was the save of the game, because if it got to 3-2 at any point in that third period, especially there, I think the whole energy of the building changes. But they were able to keep that cushion at 3-1, and they never got inside of that.
Yeah, and that was a key moment for sure. So when do you guys head back?
Well, we'll be heading on the bus here in a little less than an hour. And I'm actually going to join our show at 11 o'clock from the bus. So there's no telling what kind of heckling I'm going to get from Hal Gill and Lindsey Riley and the crew. But I'll try to keep my focus for that. Then the fly back this afternoon and just rest up today. And I think that was good scheduling by the NHL with all of the, you know, it's 2,000 miles. We showed a chart last night, guys. It's 2,000 miles plus to get from Nashville to Vancouver. The entire traveling distance for all four of the Eastern playoff series, it's not even close to 2,000 miles. So, I mean, it's unbelievable how long these – if you guys have any Netflix, Joe, if you got some movie recommendations, I got some time to kill on this plane here coming up.
I will do that for you. Also, what I think is great, the how it all plays in is that, you know, they can't play tomorrow night because Tim McGraw's got a concert. And, you know, and the goal song they play, you know, when they score a goal is Tim McGraw. So this works out perfectly for the next few days, Willie.
Yes, Tim McGraw is a great ally of the Predators, as you know. And so thank you, Tim, for having that concert so we can all rest tomorrow and fuel up for game three on Friday, because it's going to be unbelievable. I cannot wait to see what the crowd has in store. And let's see if the Predators can play off that crowd, have the puck a little bit more. You know, that's a mantra of Andrew Burnett. It's the simplest thing in sports. So, hey, we want the puck. But that's exactly what everything they do is predicated on, is having the puck. And they honestly have not had the puck as much as they want to. Rick Tocchet, even though his goaltender is out, he still feels like he can win because his team has had most of the shots and the shot attempts. So Nashville's got to even that up, but I think they can do that at home, especially with the fans behind them.
Chase says his recommendation for Are You on the Way Home is Vanderpump Rules. So if you can watch that on the way back, Chase said, well, y'all can catch up when he gets back.
Oh, boy.
Do you even know what that is?
Is that something about Vanderbilt? Is that
It's the most evidently it's the most popular reality show out there that I know nothing about, yet tens of millions of people watch and chase. So you can enjoy that.
Hey, real quick, two quick things.
I'll float that out there.
What two quick things? One, I thought it was probably on purpose, but interesting that Ryan Kesler was in the building last night. Of course, a former foe of the Predators, both with the Canucks and the Ducks. And also, have you and Mace and Hal and Lindsay and everybody started writing a book of Brunoisms yet? Because he's had a couple of good ones over the last two games.
Well, I agree. The Bruno effect is real. He, you know, he's not long winded. He's not going to, you know, give you a soliloquy up at the podium or on any interviews. I think he's had, honestly, I think his best stuff is on our station when he goes on with Robbie and Joe, or the odd time he comes on with you guys or us.
Yeah.
I think he's great in that, where he's a little more laid back. When all the microphones and people are in front of him, he's a little more brief when he's up there. But he does have a lot of little pieces of knowledge. You can just tell the hockey mind that he has, how much he studies the game away from the rink, how much he studies other sports, which is a big thing that you guys talk to him about. And he picks up every little tidbit he can to try to help his team win. And so he's going to need that in this series. But it's game on now. He got the split coming back to Nashville.
Yep. Well, Willie, appreciate it. Safe travels coming back to Smashville. And we will see you here tomorrow, but also Friday at Bridgestone Arena. Really looking forward to it.
All right. Can't wait to get home, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Willie Donick, and he'll join the Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace for a few minutes from the bus. That should be interesting.
Yeah,
let's start their show.
And now we come back. I want to bring up something about them the win last night. How some people have described the win. I got a problem with.
Okay,
we'll talk about
this. We'll talk about that. And I also have something that kind of that Bruno did that I think might win this series for them.
Oh, okay.
So we got
like
a couple of things to get into. It's Chase and Big Joe, 615-737-1025. We're broadcasting live today from the – where's my studio? My studio sponsor went away. Busy Bee – I know. I just want to read it right. Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
He's going to need a, you know, protection.
Sure. One helmet coming up. Blech.
I was thinking more like protection for down there.
Oh, why didn't you say so? Knee pads, you got it.
I'm talking about his perseverance.
Aha, see no more. I read you loud and clear. The old shoulder pads.
Look, I want a cup.
Cup? Could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
Okay, Newhouse, let's try out the new cup. Again.
Newhouse, stop that!
The Simpsons. Oh, what a classic. That would be us with Rex Road.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. He's going to try it all. Let him do it.
Chasing Big Joe, 1025. 106.3 The Game. If you missed the double cup conversation, you missed a lot.
You did. That'd be all the talk. So you can't. Evidently, UC Saros got hit pretty hard last night towards the goal late in the game, and his comment was, I'm glad I had a double cup on. And we were like, what in the world? But evidently, it's been a thing for years that goalies wear double cups. It's never been mentioned.
Yeah.
Never.
So
Fight Club.
One of our listeners wants me to not be the Predators coach and quit telling them what to do. So why don't you make your point that you were going to make?
Oh, okay. So some people referred to last night's win as an ugly win, and I got a problem with this. No win is ugly. All wins are beautiful. I don't care how bad you play. If you win, it's beautiful. We're not going to look back 5 years from now. All right, let me ask you this. When the Predators beat Chicago opening round series 2017 and game three here, what was it like?
They were down 0-2 in that game. And I think it was overtime.
They won.
Yeah.
They won the game.
A win's a win.
So, yeah, a win's a win, exactly. So it's not an ugly win. They win.
Yeah.
So congrats.
I mean, look,
to them.
I've been guilty of saying, you know, they're not all pretty or whatever, but at the end of the day, a win's a win.
Yes.
You know, and that's what matters. So you remember Jerry Helper, right?
Yeah.
Worked for the Predators for a long time and does so much with the Preds Foundation. So one time I'm walking into the locker room. This is early in my career, and I think it was for a practice or whatever, and they had won a huge game last night or the night before. And I go, "Hey, that was a good win last night." And he smiles and he looks at me and goes, "Chase, they're all good."
Yes.
Wins are wins. They're all good.
Good point. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? That's very accurate. That's true.
Yeah.
They're all good. So you'll take it any way you can get it. It doesn't matter. Like the first goal, for instance, last night was kind of fluky. You know, it bounced off a guy, but you'll take it. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You take it however you can get it in a situation like that.
Oh, absolutely you will. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, it's a win is beautiful. And, again, I don't care. I always go back to when Ben Roethlisberger in the Super Bowl where they beat the Seahawks in 2005 was like 9 of 20. Was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Was terrible. And so back to the game said, "What about you? I mean, you really, I was asked, like, your performance wasn't that great, da da da." And he said, "You know what, though? I'm the quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team."
Yeah.
And I was like, good for you, Ben. I mean, that's the way you know, so trying to bring him down, but you win. You're part of the team that wins. I mean,
right.
So no win is like, ah, well, they got the win.
And so what I was going to say that, you know, I'm not telling the Predators what to do. I'm actually praising them because I thought they did the right thing.
Right.
Long way to go. You got three more wins that you got to get. But I thought Andrew Brunette giving that team the day off after game one was a brilliant move. Because
hold on. Let me pause. No meetings? Nothing?
They had meetings.
Okay.
But no practice.
All right. No ice time. All right.
No, so I thought doing that was a brilliant move because what are you going to learn that you don't already know by getting back on the ice and practicing? You're pissed off. You're just, you know,
yeah.
You feel bad about how it all went down because you had a lead. Let it linger a little bit. You know, I thought it did because I thought there were times last night they played mean, they played angry.
And desperate. Yeah.
And so just take a few hours and just, all right, go do something else. Hang out with your teammates, go to dinner, whatever. But not worry about getting back on the ice and practicing because you know what you need to do.
Yep, that's right.
And that is why Barry Trotz, one of the reasons why Barry Trotz hired Andrew Brunette, because that is thinking like a guy that has been through these wars before as a player and played over 1,000 games in this league.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
You know, if they end up winning this series, there's going to be a lot of things that play into it, but I'm going to look back at that and go, that was a great move.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And there were people that weren't happy about, like, why aren't you practicing? You know, like, there's that mentality of, well, you lost. Get back on, you know. It's like the basketball coach that, you know, you lose the game the night before and you got to go run wind sprints the next day.
Hell,
you know, it's like punishment.
For all that. I think, forget it, maybe Pete Weber told me this. Do you know why they have morning skate, how that all started?
No.
So evidently, and I might be wrong here, but I think Pete
told me this. I think I do know this. Tell the story.
Because the Philadelphia Flyers would go out and get hammered after games, and they would show up the next afternoon for a game or whatever, and they would be totally out of it. So the coach says, you know what? I guess it was Ray Shero.
It was Ray Shero. It was,
said,
no.
Or his dad.
Yeah.
I forget who his dad is. Yeah. My hockey history isn't up to par like yours. But that's where they started morning skate, to skate away the hangover, what they said for these guys.
Fred Shero.
Yeah. To go out. I think it was brilliant. And they would get fined if they didn't show up and all these great stories.
I can tell you who we can ask if that's true because
he was
on those teams.
Yeah.
That would be one Terrence Arthur Crisp.
I mean, I those Philly Flyers and the legends they have
rival
the Oakland Raiders. you know, showing up and, you know, of just raising hell. My favorite Oakland on those stories about that is Ken Stabler showed up at a football game at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Harley, and he had a girl behind riding with him. He said, "I'll be back in a few hours," and flipped her the keys. And he had to go play a real football game on a Sunday. "I'll be back in a few hours." But anyway, but going back, the whole thing revolved back to the practice. Sometimes you just you need time away, and sometimes you need time on. Right. And Brunette called it perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you can practice something until you're blue in the face, and like you can. I think you can over practice because you overthink, and so you know what you need to do, and they went and did it last night. And now you bring it back here, and it's easier said than done because Vancouver is going to try and do to you what you did to them and take one at your place. But
yep,
it's going to be very, very difficult for Vancouver now, just like it was for Nashville playing here Friday and Sunday night.
I was – when they were doing the how loud it was, and I asked Willie that question too, and they're waving the towels. I'm thinking, I can't wait for Friday night. I can't wait to see – how loud and hear how loud Bridgestone's going to be Friday night when they get back here and they do the TV thing and everybody going crazy. And are you going to get on the band stage? Because you asked Bill Wickett from the Predators if you could do a session in between.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll get up there and play.
I want you to get your acoustic and play Fire and Rain. I've seen fire and I've seen.
I think we need a little more upbeat than that. Here's my request. I'll get up there and play. Can we get Vince Gill to sing? Because I don't.
Where are the Eagles? Just don't get Luke Bryan up there. I'd rather watch
Vinny.
Rather watch a Gomer Pyle episode.
Chase and Vinny.
Than do that.
I'll never. You may remember this. So it was. I think it was 2011. I think it was when they beat the Ducks and then played Vancouver. So it was during the Ducks series at home, and Vince played the band stage during one of the intermissions, and he plays a couple songs and he goes, "Well, I need help on this next one because I have no idea what a Casanova is." And Carrie came out.
Oh.
And Carrie Underwood and Vince Gill played.
Nice.
That was right when Mike Fisher's first year, I think. He had been acquired. So
Can I tell you a story about one person who went in the Preds locker room? And I've never seen pro athletes lose their mind over somebody who walked in the Predators locker room. I was there. Saw the whole thing. It's amazing.
You want to tease?
Yeah, it's a tease, baby.
All right, we'll tell that next. Chasing Big Joe here on this Wednesday, 615-737-1025. We'll have some Breaking Benjamin tickets to give away here in just a few minutes. But also, don't miss the NFL Draft. It's tomorrow night, 1025, 1063. The game will be at Twin Peaks in Madison starting at 6. Well, really, Jared will be out there starting at 2 for his show. For the 2024 NFL Draft coverage, it's the best draft coverage in town, home of the 29-degree beer. Coverage is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be at Kitchen Notes tomorrow. We always look forward to that. They feed us, but it's always a good place to be.
Oh, it smells good. The food's good. Todd Rodermill's the best. Omni Nashville Hotel, if you're coming to town or friends coming in. All right, so I teased before the break about stars going to the locker room. You might remember this, Chase. You might have been there. But one night, the great and talented and fantastic Alice Cooper was at a Preds game.
Yep.
Alice Cooper goes into the locker room, and I'm thinking these guys have no clue who Alice Cooper is.
Sure.
I've never seen Pecorine lose his mind the way he did for Alice Cooper. Evidently,
really?
Heavy metal music, Alice Cooper music, is huge.
Yeah.
And that part of Europe, Finland, Norway, I mean, the upper
a
part.
A lot of, like, that era of
huge
rock and metal is – like, remember This Is Spinal Tap? Yeah. They were big in Europe and
huge.
Japan and stuff.
Guys were falling over themselves. And the Preds won that night, too, which helped. And I remember you brought up Jerry Helper earlier, mm-hmm. which made me realize, and Jerry was with me, we were like, man, who would have thought about this? So seeing Alice Cooper come to the locker room that night and watch the Preds play, this is probably 10 years ago or so, go crazy is something I'll never forget, man. It was fantastic.
Was that the night that he and Vince played on the bandstand?
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Might have been the same
night. That
was
cool.
Yeah, right?
Alice Cooper and Vince Gill. That's one of those, like, Nashville things.
Yeah, and so who knows what's going to happen, but – I mean, they'll have some surprises for Friday and Sunday, who's going to sing and the anthem and all that other good stuff.
I mean, that's the like I think I said this the other day, that one of my favorite things about playoff hockey here is, yeah, you go for the game and you're excited about the game, but you're also equally as excited about the surprises, you know, before and during the game. Like, who's going to wave the towel? Who's going to sing the anthem? Who's going to show up on the band stage?
Right.
You know, and like, you get the – and they listen to the show. But whenever I see they announce, okay, small-time rock stars is going to be on the band stage, I'm like, oh, somebody's coming out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just – you just know.
I'm good with them playing. They're
fantastic. They're awesome. But like, they, you know,
to show the unity, we talked about this. If, say, they Titans draft Joe Alt, have him wave the flag.
Yeah.
Have him come out there and wave the flag Friday night. I'm not telling Preds what to do. They're not going to listen to me, because if they listen to me, then a lot of people be out of jobs. But let's have Joe Alt go out there, and it'd be a lot of fun, man.
My guess is if they were going to pull that off, it would probably be Sunday.
Yeah.
But maybe. I think that'd be fantastic. You get him here Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it'd be good.
And what would be even better is if he picked up the mantle from Taylor Lewan and chugged the beer through the catfish.
Nope. No, let's don't do this. Don't keep that to Lewan's goofy self. But what if he takes that catfish?
I think it's fun, though.
And just, what if he took the catfish and slapped Lewan with it?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'd love
have Will Levis up there and just have him, you know, throw the catfish.
Levis and Joe Alt together on the ice.
Well, get Levis.
Look at us.
Get Levis, get Joe Alt, get Skoronski, you know, anybody that, because they're all here.
Skoronski get booed by one person, though.
Who's Stillman, because he's a guard?
Yeah.
A guard.
He would boo him. I wonder what Stillman was said when they took, for 3 years, the Oilers took Munchak, Bruce Matthews, and Dean Steinkuler. Three offensive linemen. Three years in a row.
But it's a guard. Like, he would have been fine if he was tackle. That was his whole thing. Like, if you're going to put him at left tackle, I'm fine with you taking him at 11, just like he'd be fine with Joe Alt.
God, what a baby.
But I made the decision last year that I want Peter Skoronski to have a Hall of Fame career, not because that would help the Titans, but just to, you know, prove Stillman.
Right.
Like, that's all I want.
I looked up earlier. We're talking to John McClain. We're getting back to NFL draft now. The best single team that drafted most Hall of Famers in one draft was the 74 Steelers, had four Hall of Famers in their draft class. Jack Lambert, John Stallworth, Lynn Swann, and Mike Webster. You had four Hall of Famers in your draft class. Hell, John Robinson's good if he has one guy last 16 games from the draft. But this is amazing looking at that. So when you think about through history – I mean, that's the best ever, one draft class. So you're going to miss on a lot of guys, but when you hit, man, if you can hit home runs, you got those guys forever that.
Trey said on our text line, my money's on Tim McGraw since he's already playing at Bridgestone Thursday night. Unfortunately, Tim McGraw will be in Knoxville on Friday night.
Yep.
So he's in Sunday. He's somewhere else. So
He'll give it. He'll give all the love tomorrow night.
Yeah, look,
too.
Tomorrow night when he plays, he's – free Sunday, so maybe he could come back. But
Chaser got the itinerary.
I did. I just looked it up. But my guess is, you know, he'll play I Like It, I Love It, and put the Pred jersey on and say, you know, sing it the way it's played at Preds games. And
right. You had a good text of the day in our text.
Thank you. I'm glad I had one.
About singers and bands who don't play their top songs.
Oh, that was going to be a rant of mine. Like, I saw Tyler Childers at Bridgestone Arena the other night. Fantastic show. Fantastic artist. Loved it. And he played some big songs, but he left. There's a song he has called Feathered Indians that's like, in my opinion, one of his biggest songs that he didn't play. And I'm like, I don't get that. I don't get why certain artists don't play their big songs.
Yeah, I saw Duran Duran at Ascend. They didn't play Rio.
Yeah, didn't you see Clapton one time and he didn't play Layla?
No, but I'll say yeah.
I mean, I know that he played here one time and he didn't play it.
Okay. I know the Black Crowes one time did not play Jealous Again.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But I would do it. But I was very mad at Duran Duran. And evidently afterwards, the keyboard player Nick Rhodes had a tummy ache, and they rushed through their set and they kicked out Rio. I wanted my money back.
Yeah.
Then I realized I had free tickets through you from the station. So
you're
welcome.
I
couldn't get my money back. But I was mad, man.
Yeah. I mean, I hate it when, like, a band, especially one that has been around for a long time, like a Duran Duran or, you know, whatever, Clapton, and they're like, well, you know, we want you to experience our new music. Like, let me tell you something. We don't care about your new music. We want the old stuff.
What's the old joke? The best time to go to the bathroom to a concert new is song. When a legendary band's like, hey, play a few cuts off the new album. Nah, we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
See you in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're good.
When I went to Luke Combs last May, I believe it was, at Nissan Stadium, obviously he had all his new music for his world tour, but at the same time, during the show, he had like little side screens. It had like a little scan bar. It says, what song do you want us to play next?
Yeah.
And so he never played any of them during his set. But, obviously, I've made the mistake once before not to leave after all the lights turn off. Half the people were leaving when the lights turned off.
Yep.
All the songs that were voted on the scan bar came back and played them as his encore.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. But hearing no Feathered Indian from Tyler Childers, that's upsetting.
Yeah, it was. But that's okay.
Springsteen does that, too. People hold up signs and they'll play the song like that.
Garth,
that's kind of fun.
That. I call it Garth After Dark, but it's after his main set, he'll go and do like an acoustic set and then bring the band up. And, you know, and the one thing about Garth is, and he has said this like a few years ago when he did his world tour, you know, he had a new song that was out that did pretty well. Called Ask Me How I Know. And I like it. It was a good song. He played it and would play like one new song in the set. And then he goes, okay, we're going to do the old stuff now. That's what you guys want.
Okay.
And he played all the old
stuff. Did you ever ask him how he knows? Does he know?
He said, get away from me.
Did you ask him what beard dye company he represents now?
No, I didn't. But I will.
You got stuff to do, man.
What tattoo parlor he goes to, too. You know, he's got like a sleeve now.
Does he?
He got tatted up. Oh, yeah.
Garth Brooks has tattoos.
Yes.
Wow.
Look it up. He did. He got tatted up.
I'll do it right now.
So we'll come back with What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show. But right now, guys, sorry to do this because I forgot. But caller number 3-615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Breaking Benjamin at F&M Bank Arena on Wednesday, May 15th. Caller number 3-615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-106.3, The Game, here on this Wednesday. A couple of news and notes that we didn't get to. Oh, they finally decided to give Reggie Bush his Heisman back. They're reinstating him as the Heisman Trophy winner from 05.
I'd like to have been in that room for that conversation. Because, you know, there's one old guy who was like, no way, he did wrong back then. Like, yeah, what he did back then is nothing compared to what these guys are making now.
And it wasn't even really him, was it? It was like his
agent. Yeah.
Yeah. But so they're doing that. And then also just seeing coming across the wire that Lions receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown getting an extension. So a 4-year deal for him.
Okay.
So,
well, good for him.
Yeah. Good for him indeed. Thank you, Austin and Franklin. They said Tyler Childers won't sing some songs due to him being sober, kind of like when Charlie Daniels quit saying that son of a beep and Devil Went Down to Georgia. Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that.
That is fair.
Yeah. All right, with that, let's get to What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays.
All right, gentlemen, today we have Stop Wasting Food Day. That's one of them. New Kids on the Block Day, Big
what,
Joe.
Wait, the band?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yep. We also have National Pigs in a Blanket Day. That's another good one out there. We have World Meningitis Day. That's not good to really celebrate, but okay. World Day of Animals. All right, it's another one. And last one we have here is Denim Day.
Denim Day's good.
Like denim jeans.
Yeah. That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Did I tell you about elephants and people?
I think we've talked about this before.
That elephants see us the same way we see dogs? Did I tell you this?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Who told you that?
I don't know. Some animal, some trainer, somebody. I think it's fantastic because I'll pet any dog, anytime, any place, and you see elephants and people. So
they can use their trunk to just pet the dog?
I think Chase is checked out.
No, I'm reading the text. Sorry.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. All right, here we go, folks. Number two. Chase has been on a roll lately winning these. All right, first birthday, the great actress Shirley MacLaine. How is Shirley MacLaine today?
No relation to John McClane, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You get bonus points if you tell me who her brother is.
I don't know who her brother is.
Okay.
63.
Brother Jim McClain?
No.
Okay. Going with 73.
She's 90, and her brother is Warren Beatty.
Ah, okay.
This is a good one. This is one of Chase's favorite singers. Barbara Streisand.
87.
83.
82. Funny girls, 82 today. All right.
You don't bring me flowers anymore.
I don't, because you don't pay me anymore. Right. Comedian Cedric the Entertainer.
61.
54.
60. Tied at one. Well, I like it when we get close like this. I don't know who that is. Let's see. Oh, singer Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't know why I did that. Just, I was hoping you would ignore it. Just move on. Kelly Clarkson. 40.
42.
42, exactly.
Right.
Dr. Crane's up 3-1 now. He lives here in Nashville. Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys, the Oom Papa guy.
He also used to have a piece of the Sounds, right?
He did. That's right.
Oom Papa Mau Mau.
Played with Elvis. Elvis said, man, do that Oom Papa Mau Mau thing again. Made me laugh.
80.
84.
81. 3-2. Dr. Crane. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Oh, lead singer of Night Ranger, Jack Blades. Also the lead singer of Damn Yankees. Watch your mouth.
70.
84.
70 exactly. Chase is taking the lead at 4-2. I like this. Actor Michael O'Keefe, Danny Noonan from Caddyshack. How old's Danny Noonan from Caddyshack today?
72.
71.
69. We're tied at 4. This is the next one is the winner.
Wait, how are we tied at 4?
You got double. You nailed
right.
One of the
people. I was up 4-2.
Yeah, and he's babbled back. He got a double too. He had 3. You're up 4-3.
Oh, okay.
That's 4-4. Did you ever do this? All right, I can find one that
I can do it. I can do that.
All right, last here we go. Here. Baseball. Since you two nerds are baseball fans, Omar Vizquel.
51.
55.
57. Dr. Crane is the batter. Well done, Dr. Crane. Well done.
Thank you.
You know, I could say one more because I can do that.
You could.
But I'm not going.
Dr. Crane's got a meeting in the office with the suit in about 30 seconds.
Pray for me.
Oh, next. Hey, as we leave every show every day, to our guys out there, if you're struggling, we say it over and over again. This world is a better place because you are here on your cell phone. You can dial 988. Somebody's there to talk to you any hour of any day. We're here for you as well to let you guys know that we love you. It's okay not to be okay. And know that God has a great purpose for you on this earth. Know that and know that we love you.
Amen to that. D-Mace, your AirPods are right here. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.